thankful for Jesus this morning. Otherwise, I'd be pretty depressed right now. But why? You suffered with me through it this morning. But you know, that's why we put our faith in Jesus, right? Because He never loses. He always wins. And so we come from that place this morning. So let's forget about all of that stuff. It's all done. Let's focus on Jesus. If you got your Bibles with me, you can turn to John chapter 3. We will have it up here. And we're going to start in verse 1. And it says there, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, "and do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has also been done in the sight of God." And I just want to start off the bat. You know, some of us have known Jesus for a long, long time. We've gone through the rebirthing, and we can often shut down during messages like this. But I want to say, you're not allowed to shut down. Not allowed to shut down for a number of reasons. But I really felt God wanted to look at a few things here. One, the rebirth. And so if that is something foreign to you, pay attention. But he also speaks about the light and the darkness. And friends, we can be children of God and still dabble in the darkness. And I believe God wants to get some of us out of that darkness. Stop playing with the darkness this morning. And there's a third group. And I believe he speaks about Moses lifting up the snake. And we'll get into the finer details of that. But it essentially is, there's two sides of that actually. We've got to lift up the snake, i.e. Jesus' name, right? But we also have to focus us. If we want healing, if we want to be truly focused on God, we've got to look at the snake. And we'll go into the details of that. But I just really felt an urgency this morning in God that we need to pay attention. I'm going to be as brief as possible this morning, but pay attention. Like, God's wanting to do something this morning. So we're going to start by just looking at the two individuals in this text. Firstly, Nicodemus. And it's quite interesting when you go and look a little bit deeper, but what we know of Nicodemus is he was a Pharisee, right? And the Pharisees believed this, that God's grace extended only to those who kept the law. And it wasn't just the Mosaic law, it was all these oral traditions that they had added to it. I mean, you look at the Mosaic law, and it's pretty tough to... And these guys were like, nah, that's not enough. We're just going to add some more stuff. These guys were like us guys, out there minus 30 putting up those banners, right? We're like, 30 degrees is nothing. Let's do it in minus 30, yeah? So this is what they saw themselves as separated ones. That's what a Pharisee was, a separated one. And then after this encounter, we don't hear about Nicodemus again until John chapter 7, where we actually see that he's actually somewhat advocating for Jesus amongst his peers. And then it ends, his story kind of ends in chapter 19, where he, along with Joseph of Arimathus or something like that, I knew I'd get it wrong. Where they actually go and they take Jesus' body and they go bury him. And it says there that Nicodemus brought myrrh and aloes weighing about 75 pounds. It's interesting. There's a massive change to what we see happening here and to that later on, and we'll get into that. But I want to ask this question. It says he comes in the night. Why does he come in the night? And if you go read commentaries, most people say he comes because he didn't want those around him to know that he was coming to see Jesus, that there was a fear of man there. But there's those that are saying, you know, getting to Jesus during the day was a tricky thing as well. Like, Jesus was a very popular figure, and people would follow him all over the place. But I actually think that's the wrong question to ask. The question is, why did he come at all? Not what time he came, but why did he come at all? My mom actually gave me this book this week by R.T. Kendall. It's called The Finest Hour. And there's a little piece about Nicodemus there. And he answers to this question. He says, so when the question is, why did Nicodemus come at all? It says, the answer, the Holy Spirit. Why do you think you are a Christian? Do you think you are better than others? Do you have a greater sense of judgment? Do you think you deserve to be a Christian? The absolute truth is the Holy Spirit led you to invite Jesus into your heart. The Holy Spirit led you to transfer your hope from good works to the person and the work of Jesus. He actually goes on to say, he quotes Dr. Lloyd-Jones, who actually says, most Christians are surprised that they are Christians because they know what goes on in here. I know what goes on in here. I shouldn't be a Christian. But it's nothing that I've done. It's something that Jesus has done. It's something that the Holy Spirit has done. He draws us. John 6, verse 44 says, no one came to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There's no debate on this, friends. We have no role in this other than we get to make a decision. John MacArthur says, the Father has made a plan. The Son made the plan possible. The Holy Spirit makes the plan work. The Father elects us, the Son justifies us, and the Spirit sanctifies us. Nothing we do. Absolutely zero. And you know what? We can tell that this is the case because actually, if we actually look later on in this verse, Jesus actually says to him, you are supposed to be the teacher, and you don't even know what's going on here. You don't even know what I'm talking about. The guy's thinking about, how do I go back into my mother's womb as an older guy? So we know that he's not there because he knows the truth. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's so confused by what Jesus has said. Completely confused. But the Holy Spirit has ignited something in him. And it's drawn him to Jesus. And it plays out. And you know what? What's so wonderful about how his story ends is, yeah, for a period of time, he's not very forthcoming with that. But when Jesus dies, and there's nothing else to be gained or lost, he steps out. In the book, it actually says his finest hour, Nicodemus's finest hour was at the cross. Was at the cross. Friends, our finest hour is at the cross. He was a learned man, but friends, it's got nothing to do with what you know. It's got to do with who you know. It's relationship. It's revelation. And revelation comes by the Holy Spirit alone. We're not smart enough. And there are some smart people in this room, engineers and doctors and lawyers and teachers and all those kind of things. But friends, even you are not smart enough. We need the Holy Spirit for this. And we see that in Nicodemus. And obviously, the other side of this conversation is Jesus. And I love how Jesus starts this. Nicodemus comes to him, doesn't ask a question, but Jesus answers the question that he hasn't even asked. Do yourself a favor. Go look when he says, he comes to him, he says, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Do you see a question mark at the end of that? What is Jesus' response? He says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Why does Jesus respond like this? Because you know what Jesus does? You know what he knows? He knows what's going on in here. He knew why the man was there, and he cut straight to the chase. He met him where he was at. And friends, I believe Jesus wants to meet with you where you're at this morning. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. And he's wanting to do some work on that. He talks about being born again. And that the literal sense is being born from above. And friends, I want to say this. If we are born of the Spirit and we are born from above, who do we belong to? When you're born, you know, naturally by your mother, you belong to your mother. So if we are born from above, we belong to above, which means we're not our own. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to do what we want. We do what the Father says to us. So it says there that he was, let me just go one step back first. It says there, unless you are born again, you cannot. And friends, that unless means there's no other option. You know, let's just settle this in our hearts. Jesus is the narrow door. He is the only way. I nothing drives me more crazy than, you know, these splinter, you can't even call them Christianity, because it's like, well, we can do this and this and that to earn our way, and nonsense. Like, I don't know how you read your Bible. Friends, God is clear on this. It's Jesus or no other way. Let's just settle that in our hearts. And when we are teaching and when we are preaching, we need to be clear about that. There's nothing that I have done to be standing here today. Nothing. Nothing. Jesus did it all. It says they're born of water and the Spirit. And when he talks about water, friends, it's not a literal water, right? If you go back to Ezekiel chapter 36, if you read verses 24 to 27, it talks about the cleansing, right? It's a symbolic, it's a figurative thing. It's about a cleansing of our spirits. It's about a cleansing that we need to go through. You can also go read Ezekiel chapter 37 and the dry bones. And it's all prophesying to what God was going to do. Is that people were going to be born again. He was going to breathe new life in. He was going to set people free. And that's you and I and all of those that have made that decision. So I want to say this, friends. This doesn't mean that you need to be baptized in order to be saved, right? You need to follow after Jesus. You need to confess him. You need to have faith in him. You need to believe in him. The baptism is the next step of obedience. But it doesn't, if you haven't been baptized, it's not that you're not saved. But friends, I would say this. It's the first thing that's required of us. The first step of obedience. So if you have not been baptized, make that right today. Make that right today. Because friends, it's a spiritual cloud hanging over you. You haven't done the first thing God has asked you to do. So why will he entrust you with more? I've seen it. We're in a church where, in a city where there's a lot of religious spirit, and I saw kids who had grown up in, you know, religious homes getting baptized, and it caused friction, friends. Like, parents didn't speak to these kids for a while because they're going, we'd done this when you were a baby. But God mended those things. And you just see breakthrough in people's lives. Absolute breakthrough. Be obedient. Titus 3 verse 5 to 7 says, He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And I just want to say this, friends, eternal life doesn't just mean life till forever. It means a fullness in life. Because God doesn't give us like this eternal life and we've got to kind of struggle through it. No, He gives us life that we will never have any other way. It's a full life. Full life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, For you have been born not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. This rebirth produces something that will last forever, cannot be stolen, cannot be taken away. The fullness of it, we do have a role to play in that. How much do we submit to Jesus? How much do we submit our ways to God? And then He talks about the flesh and the spirit. And I want to give you a little bit of homework. We're going to read a little bit of it here, but go read Romans chapter 8 today, or tonight, or tomorrow morning. But go and read it. But I'm going to pick up from verse 6, and it says, The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of the righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Friends, and I just want to say this. We need to be more and more reliant on the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in us and has already raised our spiritual bodies out of the death. It has canceled death and sin in our lives. Friends, we need to lean into that power a little bit more. How arrogant are we to think we can do it on our own? Lean into that. You see, sin has destroyed the flesh. Fortunately, this tubby body is not going with me. You know, as we get older, we're grateful that we're not taking, you know, the bad knees, the bad hips and backs and all those things. It's not going with us. We've been reborn, born of a spirit. You know, that's what you got to love about God. He doesn't do things in half measures. He doesn't patch us up and go, we'll get you to the end line. He's like, He's giving us all He can give us. And His all is better than anything we've ever tasted. We need the Holy Spirit, friends. And Jesus touches on that. He talks about the wind and the Holy Spirit. And friends, that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. We, like the wind, we don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. We don't know what it's busy with, but we definitely see the effects of what it does. You see it, how the trees are moving. You see, you know, when it really gets rough, you know, the wind blowing, all kinds of stuff. I've got a piece of siding coming off the side of my house from all the wind that needs to get fixed, but it's like four stories up. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. But the Holy Spirit's the same, friends. We don't see Him, but we see the effects of what He does. And the effects are very clear. And we've got to lean into that. We've got to lean into that. We've got to allow Him to do what He wants to do. Because it's not about us. He wants to work with us and through us. But friends, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. That's the wonderful thing I love about the Holy Spirit. He always points you back to Jesus. And I want to say, friends, we've got to point everybody back to Jesus. We have nothing to offer. other than Jesus. Ruth, you've never been to my house, eh? Okay. Beji, you live there. Russ, you've been to my house. Ant, if you had never been to my house and you wanted directions to get to my house, are you asking Ruth, Russ, or Paige on how to get there? Paige. Yeah, you don't trust Russ, he'll send you in the other direction. Friends, here is Jesus telling us what we need to do to get to heaven. He's the only one that's been there. He's the only one that has the direction. He's the only one that has the map. But we have people out there falling after people who have never claimed to be in heaven. People who think that are leading people astray. You know, we can even say in this modern day and age, oh, well, technology will get me to my house. Well, I have a story about that. A friend of ours, they moved down to Red Deer on an acreage. And he gave me his address. And I put that address into my maps on my phone. And I got to a house that was this address. And I'm like, why are you not home? I'm like, I've got to drop the stuff off for you. He's like, I am at home. I'm like, and I took a photo of the front door and I'm like, look. It's like, that ain't my house. I was 48 minutes away from where I was supposed to be. And his wife's a doctor, and all the time I'm driving, I'm like, man, this is far outside of Red Deer. Like, what if she's on call? She's an obstetrician. I'm thinking, gee, this wasn't a wise move. She's got to stay at the hospital all the time. Meanwhile, they lived like literally 5 minutes from the hospital. But even technology, friends, is not going to get you to heaven. It ain't. There's only one person that's been there, seen it, done it, lived there, resides there currently. So when he says this is how you get there, you better pay attention. We close with three quick things. Believe. You know, in the final 10 or 11 verses, Jesus mentions believe 7 times. We need to believe. You know, God does all of it, but we have to believe. We have to believe. And friends, belief doesn't end with just going, oh, Jesus is great. We have to live that out. We have to step out in faith. There has to be, James speaks about it, there has to be actions to our faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love this so. It seems out of place, but you know what it does? It expresses how much God loves us. He so loves us. He doesn't just love us. He so loves us. He so loves us that he sent his one and only Son. And you know what I love about that? Is Jesus didn't come begrudgingly. He came and he did it 100%, wholeheartedly, every step of the way. We need to believe in Jesus, who came. And I love this. He didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned, friends. We were condemned already in our sin. But Jesus has come to save. He did not come to condemn. The world was condemned long, long before Jesus got you. But that's how God works. He's extending his arm and saying, come on out. Come on out. I'm sending you my best. I'm sending you my best. Number two, lift up. Lift up. You go read the story in Numbers chapter 21. People were sick, and God says to Moses, all right, yeah, you got this snake. Lift it up. And if the people looked on it, they would be healed. And as I said to you, there's two sides to this, friends. If we lift Jesus up, if we declare Jesus, what does the word say? Salvation comes through hearing the word. Well, friends, are you speaking the word to your friends? Are you lifting up the snake that they can see it so they can heal? You know, the thing is, though, is Jesus doesn't just heal our bodies, right? Sicknesses, he heals us from all the damage that sin has done. He reunites us with God. And friends, we got to be sharing the message. Like Moses had to lift up that stick, we got to constantly be sharing. Because if Moses wasn't obedient in lifting up the stick, people couldn't look upon it. They couldn't get healed. But I want to say, are you on the other side of it, friends, where you need to look at Jesus in your problem, in your difficulty, in your tough time? Lift your head up. You know, friends, we can often get in our tough times, we look here. That's not what we're called to do. Look to the heavens. We are part of heaven. We are God's. He's paid a price for us. Look to him in your troubles. You want to get healed? Look to him. You want things to come right in your life? Look to him. Lift Jesus up and lift your eyes up to Jesus. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 25 say this: Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Friends, you know how we know that this is the truth, that what Jesus is saying is that Christianity is nothing like all other religions, where it's come and live your best life, come and find yourself in that. Jesus says the exact opposite. He's actually saying deny yourself. It's not about you. Like, you are focusing on me and nobody else. It's actually everything contrary to what man would think salvation would look like. But he wants more of him and less of us. And so I'll say that this morning. We spoke about it, and we'll look a little bit about the light and the darkness. But friends, I want to say this right off the bat. Like, get away from the darkness. Focus on him. Less of us. Stop living in the flesh. Live in the spirit. Live in the light. Look at the snake. Look to Jesus. Lift up Jesus in all that you do. John 3, verse 30, and I hope I'm not stealing next week's preach, but it says that he must become greater, I must become less. Jesus doesn't come and do all this work, friends, pays that high a price so that you can just go about your business. Friends, we have to understand that. And I'm telling you, friends, I've had to live this the hard way this week. This week has not gone according to plan. And I've found myself living in the flesh far too often. And we will make mistakes, but God's grace is there for us. But friends, our hearts have got to be, we cannot continue to live the way we used to live. We cannot allow self to roll up in our lives, because it ends up in big problems. And trust me, I had a couple of problems this week. But it's because I allowed self to become more important than him. But thank you, Jesus, that there's so much grace in all of that. It's not about perfection, friends. It's not about perfection. It's about a heart that says, when I mess up, I'm on my knees. And I'm, you know, that's what David did, friends. We saw it all the time. You want to be a man after God's own heart? Get on your knees. And then light versus darkness, number three. Matthew 5, verse 14, we know this. It says, "You are the light of the world." We are called to live in the light, but not only that, because of what Jesus has done in our lives, friends, we are called to be the light. But we still want to dabble around in things. You know, I'm experiencing this more and more of late. But as we allow God to do things in us, friends, we should have such a disdain for sin in our lives. And I must say, over the last little while, like what I listen to on the radio, what I watch on TV, man, things that I used to be comfortable with, on not feeling so comfortable anymore. But friends, that happens because we can't dabble in the darkness. Far too many of us, and I'm talking to myself first and foremost here, we get comfortable in the darkness, but we're not called to be there, friends. Live in accountability. Live in the light. You know, we try and encourage that with our girls. There they are sitting there. You know, there's nothing you can't share with us. Because we shouldn't worry about the repercussions of what we've done. We should worry more about hiding in the darkness, playing in the darkness, because that's where the devil does his finest work. That's where he does real damage, friends. You go look at churches that have had issues and things like that. It's because people have hid things in the darkness. And God says, we're not called to live there. So why do we play around with it? Be in the light. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Be a truthful people. Let your yes be your yes. Stay there. Be accountable to Jesus. Be accountable to one another. Don't play with sin, friends. Talking of another snake, you'll get bitten. That one hurts. But it can not only hurt you, it can hurt those around you. So let's not dabble in it. So here's the challenge today, friends. We want to live in the truth. So what is the truth? We have a sin problem. Our flesh has been destroyed by sin. Our bodies will die. We are heading to hell and eternity without God. Friends, somebody described it like this, is even right now, in the darkest of things, we hear really dark things going on in this world because it's a broken world. There's sin here, but God is still here. Can you imagine what that's like when you remove God away? How depraved what the situation is now in this world? How much more depraved will it be when he's not there? Scary. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in Jesus and be reborn. Not back into the womb like Nicodemus thought, but a birth of water and the Spirit. The promise is entrance to the kingdom of God, eternal life, a full life, to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. We do Peter will testify to this. We do this little thing at the school. I'm on the board of our school. The girls are at a Christian school, and we go through the values and the mission statement of the school. And the first question we ask everybody is, "How would you describe yourself?" And people are getting bored with my answer because it's my honor badge that I want to cling to harder than anything else is to be called a son of God. That's my identity. It's not Craig, father these beautiful girls. It's not Craig, husband to the most beautiful wife. As wonderful as those things are, it's Craig, son of God. Friends, we need to hold on to that. That is the greatest title any one of us could ever have. How do I know this? Because the Jesus who's from heaven and currently resides in heaven says so. He's been there. He has the map and the directions for us. Max Lucado says, yesterday you can't alter, but your reaction to yesterday you can. The past you cannot change, but the response to your past you can. Which means, friends, we don't have to keep making the same mistakes. We don't have to keep toughing it out, because we have more that is waiting for us. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. I ask you this morning, what is your conviction? Because if it's not Jesus and everything that Jesus is telling me to do, you need to change that. If it's not that I need a rebirth, get reborn. If it's not that I'm looking to Jesus in everything, look to Jesus. If it's I'm dabbling in the dark and I'm just happy to play around with it every now and then, get into the light. God wants to be Lord over all things this morning. And friends, for the price that was paid, it's the absolute minimum he deserves. Absolute minimum. We should be holding nothing back in our own lives, in what's going on in our hearts, in how we proclaim Jesus out there. Friends, we should be holding nothing back. Jesus is worth it all.